Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Tonight, supporters and opponents of the Vista Ridge Water Pipeline will have their say before the San Antonio City Council. There's a public hearing tonight at City Council Chambers at 6 p.m., and then the council will vote on the $3.4 billion contract in about 3 weeks. The deal would secure a future water supply for the city, but critics say that water is too expensive and it may make San Antonio SAWS purchase more water than it can actually use. So tell us your thoughts about the Vista Ridge deal. Are you going to the city council meeting to sound off? Well, you can practice your speech here on the radio. We want to hear what you want to say. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. Or you can email us at thesource@tpr.org or comment directly on our website at tpr.org. Our guest this half hour, Michelle Genghis, is a resident of Lee County and is a board member of the League of Independent Texas Voters. And they have come out strongly against this deal because this is their water and they have big concerns. Also with us this afternoon, Donovan Burton. He's the chief of staff at the San Antonio Water System. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So, Michelle, so tell us about the concerns up there in Central Texas with this water deal.
Well, Paul, we have concerns on both ends of this pipeline. We do live out here and are faced with more than one of these kinds of projects from the same aquifer system. But we're also concerned on the other end that San Antonio ratepayers need to ask some hard questions of their city council, and their city council needs to have good answers to those questions. So our advice, I think, can be summed up on both ends by asking that the project just be slowed down. It's going too fast. SAWS sent a draft contract to the city council with a loudly ticking clock, and it seems unnecessary to do that. So if I can quickly just tick through a couple points.
You have the floor. Go ahead.
We think SAWS needs to figure out actual demand for this water. And we think they need to figure out the true cost of the water on both ends of the pipeline, how much the ratepayers will have to pay for this water and all of the various projects that SAWS has on the table. Can they afford to live in their city with what I'm hearing is a potential 41% total rate hike? They need to figure out what the true cost is on our end and not just listen to hired gun hydrologists tell you that it's a limitless supply. That's rarely true of any supply of water, and we don't think it's true of this one. We don't want to test that in a way that is a gamble with our future as well, our economic future. We want us all to live in these Central Texas counties cooperatively and productively, and we're concerned that that project may mean too much water at too much cost to our local counties.
Okay, let me get Donovan to respond to those couple of items. Number one, you said we could be looking at a 41% rate increase if we look at all of the water projects in the area. So, Donovan, does that seem true?
Well, I think what she's talking about is are some other rate increases that we have. We do have several other rate increases projected into the future. We have other needs. We have sewer system. We've got other projects in the pipeline. So there are other projects that will have other rate increases. This project alone for an average bill will be about a 16% rate increase. And so I think what they've tried to do is accumulate them all over a series of years and come up with that number. I mean, you could do that over any number of years and come up with any number you want. The fact is water rates are going up. We do have other needs in the system, and so, but what we're talking about is this project, and the average bill will go up about 16%. Some will see a little bit less, some will see a little bit more.
Okay, and she also brought up the question of the supply of water in their aquifer. Is there enough water up there to service San Antonio's needs and also the other folks who are drawing off that aquifer?
Yeah, we certainly think there are plenty of supplies in this aquifer. It's a vast aquifer going all the way from Arkansas to Mexico. There are just millions of acre feet, actually hundreds of millions of acre feet. What we've seen is it's about 12 times the amount of lakes. So if you add up all the lakes in Texas, it's about 12 times that amount. We certainly think there's an abundant supply of water in that area. However, the ultimate decision makers are the local groundwater districts. And what we think is we've structured this contract to allow for the local landowners through their local entities, local groundwater districts, to regulate that aquifer. And so if there's a point in time where the water they feel is been drawn down too much, if it's hurting the environment, if it's impacting people negatively, they're actually able to regulate that, and the contract allows for it. We think the contract actually is structured so that it protects the local areas, in fact, just as much as it protects the San Antonio citizens. So we think we've got that covered.
Okay, let's go to the phone line. So we're getting some calls, and if you want to join the conversation, talk about your concerns or your support for the Vista Ridge Water Project, give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. Manny is on the line. Hey, Manny, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks. I found it to be curious that anybody could complain that this is just too fast, it needs to be slowed down when you pull the reins on it. This bid, this RFP process, and all these negotiations, this has been going on for 2 whole years. I was part of the group that initially went to Spain to go get this big company interested in coming down here and looking at this option, along with a whole bunch of other companies, and that was more than 48 months ago. And so I don't know how much slower you want to take it, but to say suddenly that, we're pulling the trigger and breakneck speeds is disingenuous. And then, the other thing, too, is this isn't just a matter of, well, it's our water that you're taking. Not really. These are private property water rights that were bought and sold. And like any commodity, the seller gets to sell at a fair price. And it sounds to me like SAWS is doing exactly what we would want them to do to protect those people in the event of a further crisis or in the event that this deal somehow negatively impacts communities. San Antonio seems to be doing the right thing, not just by San Antonio, but by these communities as well.
All right, Manny, thanks for the call. Let's get a response from Michelle, who lives up there in Lee County. So is this too fast? You said it's moving too fast. He says that's disingenuous.
I think there are too many questions being raised that people feel as if they don't have answers for it. But let me address a couple of Manny's points. If I heard them correctly, I had a little difficulty. He makes the point that they were quite impressed with, Abengoa, the Spanish company that is the genesis of the Vista Ridge limited liability companies. Abengoa's financial condition has been deteriorating over the last 3 years. I believe their rating for investment is now in the second grade below investment grade as highly speculative. I'm not sure that this private-public partnership makes sense for San Antonio. Why this particular one? I think they're overlooking some important factors in Abengoa's ability to perform on this project. I'd also like to comment on the less than 3% of the landowners in Burleson County who have elected, it's true, to sell their water. The other 97% are not part of this deal, and there's quite a bit of opposition out here. I think the city council will hear from some of them this evening. We are concerned that it's always represented as the selling landowners that deserve all of the protection and all of the market rate water, et cetera, when the rest of us who are looking to conserve our water are called un-Texan when we steward water and we hope that we are taking good care of it. Your San Antonio representative called us un-Texan for opposing this project. I don't think we are at all.
I got to take a quick break. We'll take on some of these other points when we come back. We're talking about the Vista Ridge Water Pipeline deal. There's a public hearing tonight at City Council Chambers, 6 p.m. if you want to show up and have your say in support or in opposition. This is The Source on KSTX, and we're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the Vista Ridge Water Pipeline deal. It's a 142-mile pipeline that would pump 16 billion gallons of water annually into San Antonio up from Burleson County. And so there's a lot of concerns about this. People are wondering if this deal is happening too fast. So let me ask a representative of SAWS, Donovan Burton. He's the chief of staff there. Is this deal moving too fast? It seemed like the contract just came out, although the deal has been in the works, but what the actual contract is pretty much brand new, right?
Well, I think some people are just now seeing the contract. We've actually had the contract available since even July. We've actually had the contract negotiations in an unprecedented public setting where we've had posted board meetings and that sort of thing. So the negotiations have certainly been going on for several months. The process, in fact, I'll correct Manny, I guess, is the caller. It's the process has actually been going on for about 5 years, because we started out the process well before that, where we did an RFI and we brought in companies interested in looking in the water, and then we spent 2 or 3 years looking at it from a subject matter expert perspective, who's got the best amount of best water, the most reliable water source, but that can provide it in a way that's protective of the local landowners, but also of San Antonio ratepayers.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines, and if you want to join the conversation, we invite you. The number is 210-614-8980. David is on the line. David, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. This is a question for Donovan. If I recall, in early 2014, this year, the SAW staff, after due diligence, visiting desal plants, looking at their conservation programs, they outright recommended that we have, they can provide, SAW has the ability to provide water for the economy to grow for decades and decades and decades, minus this pipeline. This pipeline is nothing more than excess. And that was based on the SAW's recommendation. Is that not true?
All right, David, thank you for your call. Donovan?
Yeah, no, I certainly wouldn't say it's true. It's definitely not true. We certainly didn't say we've got enough water for decades and decades and decades. In fact, what we recommended was that we develop a brackish project, which we already are developing a brackish project, but to expand it. And so there's an ocean of brackish water right under our feet. And so we'd recommended developing further a brackish project. So there, it wasn't don't do anything. It was just a different project. Ultimately,
I amplify that comment.
Yeah, go ahead, Michelle. Michelle, you get a crack at it.
But what we did is then we went back and our board discussed the Vista Ridge with the Vista Ridge Consortium, their proposal, clarified it, and eventually negotiated it, and they negotiated a completely different, not a completely different proposal, but a proposal that was fair to us, that wasn't structured that way before when we recommended to develop a brackish project.
Okay, so Michelle, you want to react?
Yeah, I just want to talk about my first point, which was figuring out actual demand, and I think that's probably what this caller is getting at. This is planning for abundant supplies of water during a drought of record, and it seems to be that SAWS is trying to avoid stage 3 and 4 drought restrictions with a 50,000 acre foot a year supply all the time that ratepayers have to pay for, whether or not it's needed, and whether or not SAWS can figure out a way to unload it down the growth corridor of I-35. That's an insult to us that they are taking more water than they need, and they have not demonstrated a need for this water all the time at the rate of 50,000, 16 billion gallons a year. It's like a power plant that works 365 days a year, and it's only there to meet limited peak demands during the summer. It does not make financial sense to burden ratepayers with $2,200 a foot water when I believe SAW's own chief financial officer said that it's fiscally responsible to pay about $1,400 per acre foot and should be much less to ensure that the utility doesn't lose money. This water is projected at somewhere in the range of $22,220 an acre foot for 50,000 acre feet a year.
Let's focus on that issue, the cost of the water. It seems like the water that we're going to be getting out of the Vista Ridge is twice as expensive as water that we're going to be getting from the desal plant. Donovan?
I don't know that it's twice as expensive, but it's certainly more expensive. Yeah, there's water that's because the current desal plant, what you're referring to is the current desal plant, which is right here in Bexar County. But to expand that desal plant would actually be comparable price to this project. But you can't just look at the ultimate price of the project. Price is one thing. That's one element. But you also have to look at the reliability of the supply. So, for example, I can go out and procure a supply from, say, the Medina Lake, which we have, which is actually we pay less than half of that cost. The problem is the Medina Lake is not there in dry times. And so you need a supply that's reliable during drought. We're seeing hotter and drier temperatures. We're seeing droughts more often. And so we need a reliable supply. The other point I would want to bring up is kind of back to Manny's point about this going on for a while. In fact, we went through a process which was a developing of a water management plan back in 2012 that we ultimately approved it. And that plan had this project in it. It had a 50,000-acre-foot project in it, and it said we need to do conservation, but we also need this supply. And that water management plan was based off of our demand projections. So that water management plan is certainly on our website. We rolled it out. We had a lot of public meetings at the time. Our board approved it. And so the demand is there, and we've shown that, and we have it. In fact, it's on our website.
Okay. If you want to join the conversation, we invite you to give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, San Antonio. Do you want this water pipeline? 210-614-8980. Let's get Winnetka on the line. Winnetka, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. I am vehemently opposed to this pipeline project. I'm a 12th-generation Texan. And for just a point of curiosity, does Mr. Donovan, from where does he come? Is he a native Texan?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, can you repeat that?
Is he a native Texan?
Oh, is that irrelevant?
Well, my point is he shows no respect for the stewardship of our natural resources, water, and air would go along with that.
Right. I'm not going to allow that question. You got another question?
Well, my point is, I do believe that the major burden of providing the money for this project is going to be on the ratepayers, and most of us
okay.
Are either on fixed income or we're below poverty level. And I think what they're doing is they're violating.
Okay, so ratepayers. We'll ask them about ratepayers. Winnetka, thanks for the call. So Donovan, how is this going to impact ratepayers? How are we going to help the poor people who have trouble right now paying their water bills?
Well, and let me just answer the caller's kind of a bit about this is absolutely protective of the environment. And again, that's what we think the contract is an unprecedented way to structure it so that it allows for protection of the environment while also protecting the ratepayers of San Antonio. So if the water is not available, number one, the local groundwater districts are able to regulate it. And number two, the San Antonio ratepayers don't have to pay for water not delivered. So it is an unprecedented risk strict structure that is transferred to the private company and away from the local ratepayers and protective of the environment. So we think this is very much an environmentally conscious project, and not to mention the other benefits that it has for the Edwards Aquifer, the stream flows, the ability to store water in our stored ASR. Lots of environmental benefits that we think this project is structured in a way that it is very, very environmentally conscious and environmentally friendly. And we think the environmental community should be on board with this project, frankly.
But there's
lots of environmental concerns on our end. I will point out that water in an aquifer is available down to the last drop. That may not be a sustainable yield from that aquifer. And the numbers that Donovan quotes for the abundance of availability in our aquifer out here is based on what's called total estimated recoverable storage. And that number is nothing more than just an estimate of what's down there and that you might be able to take out. It doesn't take into account surface water-groundwater interaction. It doesn't take into account drawdowns in our wells. It doesn't take into account any of the negative effects. It's just a number. And it's only
sure,
one
but,
factor
but,
that's
but
supposed
those numbers
to be considered
to be
when
taken.
That water is taken from us.
Okay,
the
Donovan,
those numbers are regulated by the local groundwater district, and so they do take into account those sorts of that sort of information. Number
and
one,
they
the
will.
Beginning when they
and they will, and you won't have
okay,
a
okay. One at a time, Michelle.
Water.
Michelle, one at a
Sorry.
Time. Donovan, you were saying.
Yeah, so the groundwater district did, when they issued the permits, already take some of that into account. But again, it's a dynamic process. The legislature has allowed the local groundwater districts to regulate that aquifer throughout the process, including the desired future conditions, and I won't go into all of that. But right. There's a whole process in place to where the local groundwater districts, that if the local residents feel that the water is not there, the groundwater district is able to regulate, and the contract is structured in a sense that it allows that.
Okay, last quick question for you, Donovan.
Sure.
Does SAWS have any deals lined up for other cities who are going to buy water off this pipeline?
We don't have deals lined up. That is certainly something that we are going to be talking to other cities about as we get into this process. So as we first of all, we have to get a contract signed, and that still has to go through the process here. As soon as we get that done, we'll start looking up and down the corridor. We've actually already talked to a few people, but to look to see if there's an opportunity to work with our regional neighbors.
Okay, but nothing lined up definitely yet. All right. Donovan Burton, thank you so much. So from San Antonio Water System, also joined by Michelle Gangas. She is a resident of Lee County and on the League of Independent Texan Voters, concerned about this water because it's coming out right from underneath her feet. This is The Source on KSTX. Thanks for tuning us in.